Intelligence can be a controversial topic in the field of psychology, as different theories exist today. One theory, as suggested by Charles Spearman in 1904, is that a single power or energy, referred to as G, is responsible for intelligence. Another theory is that many types of intelligence exist, as Howard Gardner proposed in his book, Frames of Mind. According to multiple intelligence theory, you could excel at areas traditionally thought of to reflect intelligence, like math and language, and you can have intelligence in these areas traditionally thought of as talents, like music, art, dance, or sports. Or you can be exceptional at understanding other people, understanding yourself, or understanding nature. On the phone with us is Dr. Mindy Kornhuber. Dr. Kornhuber is an assistant professor at Penn State University who previously worked with Dr. Howard Gardner as a researcher. Dr. Kornhuber, how would the theory of multiple intelligence explain giftedness?
Under Gardner's theory, there are 8 relatively independent intelligences. Each of them have their own developmental trajectory. Each person has what Gardner calls a profile of these 8 intelligences. In other words, within the 8, there'll be relative strengths and relative weaknesses. What Gardner's theory helps us to do is to look at kids in a more nuanced way rather than they're globally talented or globally behind. They have areas of strengths and weaknesses, and a gifted kid will have 1 or 2 areas that are developing at a very rapid rate.
Thank you, Dr. Kornhuber. Also with us is Dr. Michael O'Boyle. Dr. O'Boyle is a professor in the Department of Human Development and Family Studies here at Texas Tech University. His research interests include cognitive modeling of perception, memory, and language, and differences in higher-order thinking processes, including mathematical giftedness. Dr. O'Boyle, what does it mean to be gifted?
When I speak of gifted, I really kind of reserve use of the term for those extremely talented 1 in 10,000 types who have been psychometrically evaluated and shown to be particularly talented in a given domain. They're taking the SAT and getting near perfect scores, but they're only 12. And in fact, if you were to kind of run into one of these kids on the street, you would just know from your interaction with them that their orbit is a lot closer to the sun than ours will ever be, because they have particular kinds of ways of going and interactive styles and characteristics that would, in 5 minutes of exposure, show you the difference between what a normal 10 or 12-year-old might be like versus what these guys are like. They have these kind of unspecified ways of solving problems. If you ask them, so how do you know that? How can you do that? They'll kind of give you these answers that are very different from the type that you would expect to hear. And so they don't really act like adults. They don't really act like kids. They act like these special cases, these special types who are processing information about their world in a different kind of way that's not like an adult exactly, but it's not like their peer-age child kind of cohort either.
Earlier, we spoke with Dr. Kornhuber about Gardner's theory. In that theory, different intelligences and talents are relatively independent. From your experience, could you speculate?
From my own point of view, I typically see exceptionality. When someone is really genuinely gifted or talented, it's in one of 3 domains. It's either in math, music, or art. And I don't think that collection is an accidental property. There seems to be some fundamental cognitive processing requirements that if you have them and you have them to a great extent, that they're going to predispose you to be very good in each of those 3 domains. If there were 3 capabilities that seem to be mediated by high imagery memory representations and heightened kind of visual imagery, it would be math, music, and art. And I think, for example, the math gifted types bear a certain resemblance to sort of savant musical types and savant artistic types. And it may be that they, for example, have this enhanced development of the right hemisphere, which is really good for spatial processing, which, oh, by the way, happens to be really good when it comes time to representing things in an imagery-based format, which, oh, by the way, is really good for playing music, painting pictures of dynamic sort of form, as well as doing math. And I think that there are brain properties that probably restrict the kinds of domains in which certain exceptionalities will show themselves. And that has somehow kind of been embedded in the brain of these very smart types. And so that happens to be very useful for math. It's not like I just got some math unit and I got a bigger spot than you did. It's because I process information in my world in this very different sort of way, which, oh, by the way, makes me pretty good at math, too.
A general thought is that more practice leads to better performance. Is it possible to teach or train someone to be gifted?
Of the kids I've seen, making you into one of them, you know, 1 in 10,000, doesn't seem to be something that I could actually induce by enhanced learning opportunities or extensive practice or high-level drills throughout the day for years and years on end. There seems to be something about the way their brain is functionally organized that predisposes them to be particularly good at spatial reasoning and pattern recognition and imagery-based memory representations, which all sort of fit together to produce this kind of spike in math ability in the absence of formal training. So if you're talking about the most extreme genius types, I think there's a kind of inherent brain property or characteristic about why they are so good at what they do. If we sort of drop the bar and we start getting into very solid performers who are above average, but they're not in the John Nash or Albert Einstein level, there may be plenty of room for the business of trying to train up circuits to sort of mimic what these math-gifted types do naturally in an effort to optimize everybody's math performance.
Thanks, Dr. O'Boyle. Remember that intelligence is not restricted to scores received on tests or grades earned in school, but is much broader. In what area do you excel? Perhaps you're exceptional at math or language, or perhaps you have some talent in sports or art. Understand where you excel and make a deliberate effort to improve. We may not all be John Nash, but we all have gifts. To learn more about the Texas Tech Psychology podcasts, please visit www.psychology.ttu.edu. This podcast was produced by Dr. Frank Durso, edited by Kristen Goodhart and Elizabeth Smidlin, and relayed by me, RB Watts. Stay healthy and active, and have a great day.